even before the Christmas food at Aldi came out, and even before the neighbors' Christmas lights went up. We've been counting down the months in our house, the weeks, the days, and now I know some of you have an exact stopwatch, kids, on the hours till Christmas morning. As you wait, I wonder, what are you waiting for? And I wonder how long you've been waiting for that. I remember as a kid, around 10 years old, constantly dropping hints to my mum and dad throughout the whole year about what I would love for Christmas. And then I'd spend the whole rest of the year waiting to see if they had actually heard and remembered. Waiting for Christmas is actually nothing new. Today, I want to introduce you to someone who's been waiting a very long time for Christmas. So kids, I have a special guest here I want to introduce you to. But to do this, I'm going to need to use a time machine. And like all good time machines, they come on a remote these days, to go back 2,000 years, not just in time, but in place. We're going to travel to the Middle East. You ready? Press a button and it happens. Bang! Here we are. How cool. It works so well. You can borrow it later on. It's awesome. But the cool thing is, actually, this time machine brings us people and helps us to hear voices and maybe even to see different people. I'd like you to welcome Simeon from 2,000 years ago from the Middle East. Welcome, Simeon. Now, Simeon, like you, you guys have quite a lot in common with Simeon. Simeon, stand up front for me, please. Yeah, you're my special guest. Simeon and you guys have a lot in common. You're waiting for Christmas, but unlike you, Simeon's actually been waiting all his life for the very first Christmas. So we're going to tell the story of Simeon today. He's been waiting his whole life. Can you imagine waiting for anything for your whole life? Now, of course, full disclosure, this is not actually Simeon. This is my friend Greg dressed up as Simeon. The time machine remote is very good, but not that good. And we read about Simeon at the start of the New Testament in the Bible from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And I've got the words up here and I've asked Carol if she can help. I've been inviting all my friends to help me out today. Carol, can you help us read this passage so we can understand a little bit about our friend Simeon?
Sure. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah.
So from right there in the Bible, we already know heaps about this guy, Simeon. He lived in Jerusalem. He was a good man. He was righteous and devout. And he was waiting and waiting and waiting. What was he waiting for? What does the passage say? Luke tells us that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, a big word with deep meaning. To console someone means to give them comfort at a time of grief or disappointment. That's what Simeon was waiting for. I'm sure we've all experienced what it's like to wait for someone to give us comfort when we've experienced grief or disappointment. Like all Jews, Simeon was waiting for God's comfort to come to all of his people. How? Says here, through a person, through the Lord's Messiah. Who is the Lord's Messiah? God's promised king who would bring comfort by rescuing them. And this passage tells us that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Simeon somehow knew for sure that in his lifetime, he would meet God's king. So Simeon had been waiting all his life for God's promised comfort to come. All your life, that's a long time to wait. But that's nothing compared to how long Simeon's people, the people of God, had been waiting for transformation to come. They'd been waiting for a very long time. The last few weeks, we've been looking at this theme, waiting for transformation. Through the promises given to the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Simeon. For 700 years, since Isaiah, 700 years, through times of grief and disappointment, the people of God had been waiting. Just like Simeon had been waiting, but just for his lifetime. They've been desperately waiting for comfort, for the consolation of God to come through this king, the promised Messiah. God's promise was that this king would rescue them, that this king would bring in total transformation. This king would set right all that had been wronged in the whole world and establish God's kingdom on earth. Something worth waiting for. Simeon would have grown up listening to the promises from the prophet Isaiah and waiting and waiting and waiting for these promises to come true. So there he was, waiting for the Lord's Messiah, who would transform God's people from, as we've seen the last few weeks, from outrageousness to peace, from total fear to trust, from being stuck in their sin to singing God's praise. And right now, with this special time machine, we are about to see the moment that Simeon knew that the wait for transformation was over. Are you ready, Simeon?
I am.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
With one press of the button, we're about to see. But Carol, can you introduce this story from us as we're about to see what happens? From Luke chapter 2, verse 27.
Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts.
Welcome.
When the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought
Welcome.
In the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
So as Simeon held Jesus, who is just 40 days old, he was absolutely sure that this wait was over. When he saw Jesus, Simeon said his eyes had now seen God's salvation. He was so convinced that he held God's rescue plan bundled as a baby that he knew that now he could die in peace. Thank you, Simeon. Your job is done. Now I'm just getting way too excited about this special time machine. How about we zoom back a further 700 years before Simeon, so Sydney time, that would be 2,700 and a bit years, to help us actually hear afresh these words of the promised of the prophet Isaiah, of these promises. Let's truly understand how Simeon was feeling. Let's put ourselves in his shoes to understand what was the comfort that was actually promised on that day he met Jesus. Let's listen. I'll press a button. Let's go.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Remember that while they waited for 700 years for these promises to come true, let's remember the people of God had experienced such enormous grief and disappointment. The language that Isaiah uses, they would be like a smoldering stump. You know, after a bushfire comes and the stump is smoldering, you think, is there any life left in this? And the promise God gave Isaiah is yes. Out of this stump, new life would burst forth. Let's keep hearing what Isaiah said in chapter 11.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord.
On that day he held Jesus, Simeon knew that Jesus was this promised shoot out of the line of Jesse. That's a royal descendant of King David, from King David's family. He knew that the wait for transformation was over. The wait for this king who would rule the world with perfect justice. And notice there, the sevenfold power of the Spirit who would bring perfect comfort and perfect justice. Simeon knew the wait was over. He knew that the wait for the day promised in the next chapter of Isaiah had come.
In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he's done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
As soon as Simeon met Jesus and held Jesus, he knew this is the one promised by the prophet Isaiah. This is the one who would bring comfort and transform not only his people, Israel, but actually all nations. That was a promise. He knew that this is the one who would be called great, is the Holy One of Israel among you. The Holy One. The words for God would actually be among the people. Emmanuel, God with us. But you know, many in Simeon's time missed it. And as we know, many today, celebrating Christmas for lots of other reasons other than the reason for the season. Many are still waiting. So 2,000 years after Simeon, here we are. But no matter what we're waiting for tomorrow, let's not miss the real reason to celebrate. Christmas is God's good news story, and actually about how this wait for transformation is over. This Christmas, let's hear it afresh. The wait is over. Celebrating Christmas without celebrating the wait is over is like celebrating school holidays by staying stuck at school. Or like celebrating your work holidays by keeping on plugging away at the emails. It doesn't make sense. Celebrating summer holidays while still doing something that summer holidays releases you from. When Simeon saw Jesus after the first Christmas, he rejoiced. We have a lot in common with Simeon. But we know so much more than Simeon. Think of how much we know. Simeon just met Jesus at the start of his life. How much more can we rejoice at Christmas? We don't know just the good news about the birth of Jesus and who Jesus really was, but we know the good news about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We know the whole story, and we know that we have been invited into God's story. We know how Jesus came not just to be born, but to die. And we know how Jesus, the King, proved his power by rising from the dead. Jesus didn't just come for Christmas. Jesus came for a purpose. Jesus came for Easter. So this is just our warm-up for our biggest celebration at Easter. Jesus came to take the judgment of God that Israel deserved and that we all deserve. This is the good news of Christmas. Jesus took that on his own shoulders so that we can experience the true comfort of God with us. In Jesus, the gift is given. God is inviting us to please accept it. Not everyone's accepted it. Unwrap it. Put this promise of peace and comfort on. Live into it. That's what it means to practice the way of Jesus. Tonight on Christmas Eve, I want to ask you, for Christmas tomorrow, what are you waiting for? Of course, we're waiting for the presents. That's awesome. And the yummy food and the family time. But deep down, this Christmas, what are you really waiting for? If what you're waiting for, beyond the presents and the yummy food, is any combination of love, of peace, of joy, of comfort, of satisfaction, of acceptance, of forgiveness, rest, true fulfillment, then hear afresh. In Jesus, the wait is over. If, like Simeon, you've been waiting for someone to comfort you from all your troubles, in Jesus, the wait is over. If, like Simeon, you've been waiting for someone to take away all of your ugly pride of what you know to be sin, but you can't actually admit to anyone else, your shame, and you're waiting for someone to transform you so that you can finally live freely and joyfully and hopefully in Jesus, this is the good news of Christmas. The wait is over. If, like Simeon, you've been waiting for hope in a time of absolute hopelessness, maybe that sums up your last year. Maybe you're waiting for someone to bring certainty in a time of uncertainty, peace in a world of conflict, a king who will bring justice in a world of terrible injustice. In Jesus, the wait is over. Maybe, like Simeon, you've been waiting for someone who can actually rescue you from the crippling fear, from the crippling doubt you have even about what 2023 will bring. In Jesus, the wait is over. If, like Simeon, you're just waiting for someone to bring you strength to face each day, rest for your weary soul, comfort for all your troubles, if you're waiting for the very presence of God to be among you and to give you hope, in Jesus, the wait is over. If you've simply been waiting for a reason to get out of bed in the morning, in Jesus, the wait is over. So with the confidence of Simeon, let's celebrate. Let's live into. Let's shout aloud. Let's sing for joy. Let's declare to our family, to our neighbors, and to the nations, in Jesus, the wait is over. God's King, God's Comforter has come. Emmanuel, God with us. To close, I'd love to pray the lyrics of a song that we're about to sing, The Wait is Over by Austin Stone Worship. Let's pray. The Christ of whom the prophets told, the promised one of old, wait no more. The Word made flesh before our eyes, salvation in his cries, wait no more. The wait is over, our hope has dawned, the light of the world has shone upon us. Hallelujah, Emmanuel, God of heaven has come to save us. The wait is over. All the fear that keeps me from letting go and coming home, I will wait no more. Everything I'm looking for, I find in you and so much more. I will wait no more. Thank you, Jesus. The wait is over. Amen.
Thanks, Mike.